Our scripture reading today comes from Luke 8, 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which was opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherders saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into a boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, loving God, compassionate God, strong God, you are to us like a doting parent. You promise to be with us. So we pray that now. We ask that your spirit would be with us, be in our presence, and help us to hear your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, last week, right before church, like right as church was beginning, we started to learn details of this sort of horrific shooting that had taken place in Orlando. And since it was happening, news of it happened right before we began, some of us were deeply affected, and some of us actually hadn't heard anything about it. And some of us were someplace in the middle. And I think that's sort of where I was at last Sunday morning, where I knew something was wrong. And of course, this is a bad thing, and I'm aware of it. But I didn't really understand the magnitude of what had gone on until I saw the faces of people in pain. And that pain has sort of sat with me all week. So I had a great plan to keep preaching on all these wonderful stories of our Sunday school hero, Elijah. But I'm going to deviate that and talk a little bit about what happened last week and what seems like happens every week in America when another community is torn apart. And I want to do this by telling a story of Jesus. It's actually our lectionary passage. So it's just the scripture that happens to come up for today, the fifth Sunday in ordinary time. It's a story, the one that Betsy read, of Jesus traveling to the land of Gerasenes, which means that Jesus has left the Jewish region of Galilee and crossed the sea and gone into what we now call Jordan, which is basically it means that he was he had no reason to go there. He was a little bit out of place. And upon his arrival, a man runs up to him. And we learn right away that this man is occupied by demons. The man is tormented. He's isolated. In fact, he's living in a tomb because the town can't handle to be around him. The Gospel of Mark, because this story from Luke is also in Mark, and the Gospel of Mark adds the detail that he was howling and bruising himself with stones. The man is occupied by demons that so control his life that he doesn't even know who he is. This seems to be Jesus' first concern, right? Jesus asks him his name. He wants to know if he knows who he is. Like, do you know who you are? And the man answers that he is a legion, which for the many demons that occupy him. These demons have taken over his identity, and it seems they've taken over his very sense of self, who he is. He can only identify himself by the demons that occupy him. So Jesus dismisses these demons into a herd of pigs that's like grazing on a nearby hillside, and these pigs run into the lake that Jesus, or the sea that Jesus had crossed, and they drowned. And this makes the townspeople afraid. They're obviously afraid of this man who was occupied by demons, but they seem more afraid of the man who can heal people of demons. So the townspeople come and they ask Jesus to leave, which he does. Jesus goes over, casts a demon out of this guy. They ask him to leave, so he does. He returns to Galilee and the story is over. It's a story of a man and some demons. And we actually get a good number of these stories of Jesus casting out demons in the Gospels. And all the demons that Jesus encounters seem to affect people, or maybe I should say afflict people, in the same way. They enter into a normal, healthy person, and a demon takes over their body. It torments them, and they forget who they are. I mean, so much so, one of the things I was just sort of noticing is that Jesus, actually, when someone is occupied or possessed by a demon, Jesus doesn't speak to the person. Jesus speaks to the demon. And in this case, the person has even forgotten their name. But then, in these stories, Jesus comes and casts out the demon, and the person returns to their true self. Once the demon is gone, they sort of go back to being the person that God had created them to be. And a lot of people have a lot of different ideas, different thoughts about like what to think of demons in the Bible. Some people think that they are like just evil spirits that occupy people. Other folks have noted that a lot of the people who are occupied by demons look a lot like folks that we would now call mentally ill. So maybe it was just that culture's way of talking about mental illness. And there are even some folks who think that the way the Bible and Jesus talks about demons is more of like a larger metaphor for how we inflict pain on one another, how our communities hurt each other. And I think that it might be all three. Like, I don't want to have to pick one. I think it actually might be all three in this story. Like, I believe there probably was some sort of evil spirit there. And I believe that it probably looked a lot like mental illness. And I think that it's part of a larger metaphor. actually think it's part of a larger metaphor where Jesus is talking about the Roman occupation of the region. And that might sound like a little bit of a stretch. It was when I first read it. But hear me out. So first of all, this demon is named Legion. And Legion is a term for a military unit, usually around 6,000. And there were these legions all over Palestine and the surrounding areas. They're Roman military units. And maybe that's a coincidence, but the demon named Legion is cast out into a herd of pigs. To my knowledge, do we have any pig farmers in the room? I didn't think so. But if they were here, they would tell us that pigs don't travel in herds, right? We don't have pig herding dogs, we have sheep herding dogs, right? Pigs aren't in herds, yet it says that Jesus cast them out into a herd of pigs. There is no such thing as a herd of pigs unless you live in the land of Gerasenes, because there was a herd of pig in Gerasenes. Because Gerasene, this particular region that Jesus makes a special trip to, it was occupied by the Roman 10th Legion. And there they had a name, they had a nickname, they had a symbol that was associated with their legion. They were called the pigs, that's what they called themselves. And when a group of military recruits traveled around, that was called a herd. So in Gerasenes, a herd of pigs traveling around was very clearly a reference to this military unit. And now Jesus is likening them to a demon. And it seems like very subtle, very veiled language that Jesus would use, which also makes sense, because if Jesus had just started criticizing the Romans, he probably would have been arrested. But he can use euphemism to explain to his followers how Romans were like demons, right? They occupied the land. They tormented the people, and they made them forget their real identity as people of God. Because the Roman law replaced God's law. And the people forgot who God made them to be. So for Jesus, the Roman occupation, it's like a demon occupying God's land. And I bring this up only to sort of show that Jesus is saying something pretty interesting and pretty profound, I think, about demons. That they're not only evil spirits, that demons can be occupying forces of our own making, that we as cultures or as communities, as human beings, can create demons that prey on the weak. We can sort of like collectively make demons that torment and isolate people, demons that make people forget they are a beautiful creation of God. Demons make it impossible to see, for us to see that every one of us is beloved. My friend Chris describes like demon-possessed people or people who are occupied by demons as people who have to hold the hatred of their community. People whose community is told them there's something so wrong with them that they should hate themselves. People whose community has told them there's something so wrong that they should sort of forget who they really are and repress their true self. And this, to me, this sounds like occupation, right? But because hatred, this sort of hatred of the self, it has to come from the outside. You know, no one is born hating themselves. And our community or somebody else has to tell us we're worthy of self-hatred. And I say we there intentionally because I think we all have a little bit of this, right? I think that we all have demons that sort of occupy us and tell us there are parts of who we are that we should forget, demons tell us that it's okay for you to sort of like hate this part of yourself or think this part of you isn't worthy of God's love. We all have a few demons, but some people have way too many. Some people have to hold so much hate. I don't know. What happened last week seemed to be motivated out of hatred and fear. And hatred and fear that comes from demons like the one in our Bible story. And before I go much further, I want to say, I don't know, the shooter's name was Omar Mateen. I don't know him. I don't know his soul, what he was thinking. I don't know why he killed those folks. I don't know what motivated him. But as I heard his story, I couldn't help but think, man, he had a lot of hate to hold. Right? He was from a family of Middle Eastern immigrants in a society whose politicians talk about building walls to keep people like him out. Every day he would have heard the rhetoric, and I know this because I live in the Middle East, I've got a lot of Arab friends, and they come to the U.S., they have to enter in a discussion as to whether or not they are what's wrong with America. And sort of on top of that, he was a Muslim in a society that sort of accused his faith of being a marker of terrorism. And every day he had to hear debates on whether or not he should be allowed to travel or if he needed to be registered. And that's just, it's a lot of hate to hold. And we don't really know, but it appears that he may have been a queer man in a religious culture that told him that being queer was wrong to the core. And I'm not actually talking about Muslim religious culture. I'm talking about Christian culture. Because the strongest resistance and most explicit threats, you know, especially over the last, 30, 40, 50 years, to gay, lesbian, queer, and trans people have come from Christians. And that's just a lot of hate to hold. It's a lot of demons. And sometimes some folks are so occupied by demons and that they start listening to those demons. And the voices of truth are drowned out by the demons' lies. So some people's demons cause them to not only hate themselves, but hate other people that are like them. People who remind them of who God wanted them to be. And I don't know if this was the case for Mateen. But it looks like he lashed out at people just like himself. Queer people, many of whom were people of color, many of whom were immigrants. He lashed out at people who were also told to like hold the hate of their community, but somehow they cast out those demons that we had put on them. The victims of this tragedy were the ones that refused to forget who God created them to be. The victims of this crime, no doubt, they knew how to battle demons. And I don't know if anything I'm saying right now is helpful. I don't know. I know what I feel. I think Emily called me had just gotten home on Friday, and Emily called me, she's still at work, and she's like, hey, how's your day? And I was like, oh, this is sad. Just felt this lingering sadness. I know that. And I can see the pain and fear and confusion in my friends, and there are a host of other emotions that I can't even pretend to know or feel or imagine. And I don't know that my words feel all that accurate or adequate, I meant, but or accurate, I don't know. But I just don't know what else to say, right? I mean, I guess we could, I just feel like in some ways we have an option of just blaming it all on this one guy. And and calling him a terrorist and a lone wolf and a sick and deranged person, and maybe that's true. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I also think if we do that, where does it get us? Right? It just puts us in a place that says, well, it's not us. And we don't have to take a good hard look at sort of our complicity in this and the demons that we create. It means that we don't have to change. And I think that Jesus just wants us to change. I was just hit by those words. You're making us new. You're making us new. I mean, our scripture here, this whole story is about a God who frees a man from the demons that occupy him. Our scripture is about a liberating God who, like, still liberates today. But I think it might look different. And I don't know, maybe this makes me a bad pastor, but I just don't think that one day Jesus is going to arrive on the shores of the Puget Sound and cast out all the demons of our society for us. I think we're going to have to be involved. And part of that's because our demons look different. And we're going to have to seek them out. It takes reflection. I mean, I think that we have to ask ourselves, like, who is carrying the hatred of our community? What demons do we create that might someday occupy some poor soul? And maybe even more than that, I think we have to think about what demons occupy us. Like, where are we creating the hate, where are we creating or carrying the hatred of our community? Are there parts of who God created us to be that we've forgotten because just this whole world around us has told us that we should hate this part of ourselves? Because I think ultimately this story and a lot of these sort of demon possession stories, they're about who did God first create us to be? You know, the only sort of quote we have, I think, the only quote we have of Jesus addressing the man is Jesus saying, "What's your name?" Jesus wants to know if the man knows himself. Because he wants the man to know himself. Jesus doesn't want him to be legion. He doesn't want this man to believe the lies the demon has told him. Jesus wants him to be his true self. The man he was before the demons. The man that God created him to be. And that's sort of it sort of comes full circle, this text does. Because at the very end, the man comes up to Jesus and asks and says, "Hey, can I stay with you? I want to be a disciple. I want to travel back to Galilee with you." And Jesus says, "No." He tells the man to go into the town and show people what God has done. Jesus wants this man to show himself, his real self. Jesus wants him to be known by everybody, by his community. For this man, this person, is a beautiful creation. And everywhere he goes, just a little bit more of God's creation is revealed. This story, it's a story of a person who battled demons for many years. It's a story of a God who frees us of the demons that hold us and the demons that swirl around us. It's a story of a man learning his true name as a child of God. It's a story we need to keep telling over and over. I think it's a story we need to keep living over and over. May it be so. Amen.